With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod 2020. Yes, 6 years into this fucking podcast, and still only 6 emails have been received, but we will carry on regardless. If you want to email us at any point, it's studio@theboxsetpod.com. Welcome to it. My name is Howell. This is Jamie.
Hello.
And this is Matthew Wandless.
Hi.
Hey diddly D. A new year, January. Let's dive straight in. We've been watching a lot of films because it's been Christmas. It's Oscars season at the cinema, so there's loads of good stuff out. It's been difficult to get your teeth into a box set during this period, I think. But we have been watching stuff, so let's see where we are with it. We don't even remember, we're this bad. If you're a fan of this podcast and you listen in order, we barely even remember the challenges that we gave to each other last week. One that we do remember is that I challenged Matt to watch season 3, episode 3 of The Crown, and Jamie's gone and watched that as well, so we can get two people's reviews now. Do you agree with my synopsis that it is a great bit of telly?
I thought it was very good. The opening 20 minutes, because let me be honest, I'd never heard about
Abervan.
Called Abervan.
Yeah,
Abervan.
And so I had no idea what was about to happen, and it was shocking and awful and very affecting. But I did then sort of slip into the thing of like, I don't feel like I need this story framed for me through the view holes of the royal family.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's partly due to jumping into season 3, episode 3, which is my fault, but...
No, that's my problem with the whole series.
Yeah. You just don't care what trials and tribulations they've gone through. The issue is that I agree with that. I don't either, really. But it's more that this episode is kind of different because a lot of the other stuff is about how she has to be cruel. And this was, but in a sort of personal way, in a kind of, how is her mental state? Is she not feeling this emotion? And by this point in context, you're going, is she not feeling emotion about this because that's who she was born as? Or is it because she's got so used to having to be a symbol and not a human being? That's kind of where it sits in the questioning of what it would be like to be the Don of that particular family, I think.
Mm. And it's all well done and everything like that. I've got no particular problem with it on that score. It's just not a subject matter that I find interesting in the end.
Mm. Well, I think, for me, that episode is really powerful. It's really, really good, and it's really well done, and it just made me want to know more about that story and watch a documentary about that. I'm sure there probably is one. Mm-hmm. Or just, follow the characters within that particular horrible story rather than the Queen, the royal stuff, felt very kind of superfluous, but that might be it, actually. In my case, I haven't watched a lot of the show. I've watched one episode, so
yeah.
If I was invested, and I think Olivia Colman's great, and the guy who plays Harold Wilson does a good job.
Yeah,
and there's a nice scene between those two.
Yeah,
it didn't make me want to watch the show. It made me want to know more about the Aberfan disaster.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean it wasn't good for that reason.
Just on that subject, I believe the BBC, I don't think it was a drama, I think it was a documentary that they did a few years ago that apparently is amazing about that. And you can talk to my dad about it because he was in the next town along. And
really?
Yeah. So that's why it was so moving for me to watch, because I'd heard the stories about that day from my dad and my uncle, and how like members of obviously people in those villages, so their dad or whatever their dads would be trying to go over to help, and just that it was such a shocking thing for communities like that, for something like that to happen in such a small community. And the stories that they had told me in my head, this was so accurate to the telling of it. It was like right down to my dad's since watched that episode, and he was like, okay, you know, the not priest, the minister of that chapel where they had the body, that guy was a friend of your granddad's, and he was a real character. And you know, everybody in there is the research that's gone into that show is just astonishing. I can't imagine people watching things that they were so close to and saying that's what happened. You know, mostly we watch stuff that's based in our profession and we go, oh god, this is embarrassing, or whatever, you know. So it was, yeah, that's good. Well, thanks for watching it. Well done. And time not wasted, I hope.
No, definitely not.
It's a good sign that, you know, from that sort of shows that the people who make the show are really good at making ripping and really, really truthful, staying honest to a story.
Well, so that's it. I suppose I'd say, if you imagine when you have been hooked to something, to a series, when you've got the sort of long-term investment, that feeling, that I would only describe it as compendiousness, you know, the feeling of a job so well, thoroughly done, is kind of the feeling you have at the end of every episode. It's just that this was kind of quite standalone in its event, you know, in the nature of the event, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, very good. Well done. So, three things that Jamie's touched on, that Jamie's been watching, he tells me, are Messiah, Undone, and Witcher. I believe Matt's watched Witcher and not Messiah and Undone like me. So, do you want to start with Witcher and see if you can persuade me to start it?
Toss a coin to your Witcher, O Valley of Plenty, O Valley of Plenty. Toss a coin to your Witcher, O Valley of Plenty. I've been singing that in the shower for the last 2 weeks.
And is that a song you made up yourself?
Oh, no, Owl, that is very much a major theme of the show. Matt, do you want to talk about it?
Well, what's it on? What's it on and what's the setup?
Sure, okay. It's on Netflix. So The Witcher is a series of novels, sort of fantasy novels, set in a kind of sort of Norse-y feel, fictional area. Is it called Nilfgaard? No, Nilfgaard is a part...
Oh, that's one of the...
It's called The Continent. That's what the whole place is called.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, it's... It was also a very successful series of video games, of which I tried to play the latest in the series, and I got through... I played for about 5 or 6 hours, and it just didn't grab me, unfortunately. I could see that it was good, but it didn't grab me.
My brother's a massive fan. He said that the second game of the Witcher series is his favourite game ever.
Oh, wow.
He's a big fan. There you go. But he hasn't watched this yet. He's very... He's read a couple of the books, and he's quite precious about it, so he hasn't watched the show yet.
But yeah, okay, so witches are these kind of magical humans. Well, no, they're not humans. They are somewhere between humans and some other kind of species. They're kind of their own thing. There's not very many of them. They're kind of magical, and they are sort of emotionless kind of beings to basically make their way through the world, hunting monsters. They've got these preternatural powers. They have extraordinary senses, and they're kind of cool. They're pretty cool. And Geralt, the one who is played by Henry Cavill, is the leading character in the games as well, and it has this kind of gruff, emotionless persona. And this kind of monotonal voice, and it kind of suits Cavill pretty well, because he's like, you know, he's ripped, He looks every inch the kind of warrior that this guy is.
Yeah,
and he's also eternally boring. It suits him down to the ground. But
what I would say is worth mentioning, sorry, Matt, is that the witches within this world are ostracized a little bit and looked as outsiders, aren't they, as well?
Carry on, kind of feared, and like you said, there's a bit of prejudice and that kind of thing. Their kind aren't wanted around places, although some people find them fascinating and are kind of drawn to them as well. And I watched the first episode of this, and I wasn't initially very impressed, actually. But then at the end of the first episode, there is this little scene of there's like a sword fight, which was so good that it made me want to watch the second episode of the show. And then really, that's kind of the only sword fight that's that good throughout the entire series.
Right.
But the story gets so much better that I was completely hooked after about 3 or 4 episodes. And it's weird. It's like it sort of sits in a weird zone between having to be watched really attentively and being total fluff.
Yeah.
Because the story is actually really intricate and very complicated. You can miss a lot if you don't pay attention, because they don't hold your hand at all. They really just set the world out in front of you, and you're expected to just go along for the ride.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I was going to say, is that the timelines, it takes a while to figure out all of it. There's a number of 3 different characters that are the main characters it follows in the first series, and their timelines, how they all marry up, it's actually quite confusing early on, isn't it? Did you find
that? Yes, it didn't become clear until about episode 5.
Yeah.
That we're dealing with different time periods. Yeah.
Right.
So you follow Geralt the Witcher and this sort of neophyte witch called Yennefer, and this young princess and her mother, who are kind of in charge of this one section of the kingdom. And I don't really want to say an awful lot more, except that the world is incredibly rich. I really like the lore. It's got a lot of different things going for it. It's got this kind of lovely fantasy overtones with all these different landscapes and places and things. It's got a kind of almost X-Files-y feel to it, where each episode there's kind of a puzzle to be solved, which is to do with some sort of beast. Or some aspect of magic or something like that, which makes me think of an anthology series like X-Files, where you just have little cases that are solved. There's a very good one with I can't think even what the thing's called, but it's like something that's possessed someone. And it's quite scary.
Yeah,
well, it's very atmospheric at any rate, and it's like it's a really satisfying conclusion when you reach it. The overarching story is quite a complex one to follow, and I think it's very worth getting invested in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm quite interested. I'm quite surprised. I wasn't sure which way you go on this, Matt.
I wasn't sure which way I was going on it. After about 3 or 4 episodes, I was still like, some of this is shit, but some of this is really good. And in the end, the good outweighs the shit for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sorry, Harold, just a quick point as well. Yeah, when I found the same thing as you, like 3 or 4 episodes in, I was like, the script is a bit clunky. Sometimes it feels really, it's trying too hard to be sort of a Game of Thrones style thing. There were times where Henry Cavill's voice was trying to do the, you know how Batman, Christian Bale's Batman voice.
I'm doing The Witcher. I'm just going to say everything in this tone.
Yes, I'm really angry right now. Actually, no, I'm happy. And, like, it does get a bit frustrating, but once you get into it...
You say, never heard of it myself.
There's one of the plot lines that's really... Actually, was for me the one, the strongest, was Yennefer, the witch.
Yeah.
Her actual plot, and she was really good as well, is actually really interesting. That was the thing that I really got... That sort of drew me in, was her plot more than his.
Yeah.
Although it's kind of nice the way it all ties in. So yeah, I think you should definitely give this a go, Howell.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's great, though. I don't think it's great, but I think it's really watchable.
Sending me on a roller coaster. I mean, yeah. I mean, whenever Matt reviews something, you've got to remove 20% negativity to get an accurate picture. And I was taking that as very positive until you said, it's not great.
It isn't great. I don't think you should go in there really with too high. It's entertaining, fun, and I feel like the second series will get really good, because I feel like now they've established a lot of what they needed to do. I feel like it's going to get better.
Right. So, I thought it was some of the best storytelling I've seen in a show for a long time.
Yeah, it did a good job. And I actually thought the last episode of the series was really good, actually. And really powerful. So it gets better. And if you get past some of the clunky dialogue and some bit of Cavill, you'll get into it, I think.
Okay.
In the end, I even like Cavill, though.
Same for me. I started off going, oh, what is he doing here? But you just go with it, and it keeps you drawn in, because you're such a rich, because it's coming from these books, and there's so much with the same thing with Game of Thrones. You have that depth of, they all know, there's that knowledge, you know, that this has been really deeply written, and underneath all of the plot that you're watching, there's a lot of other stuff that's going on, and you're kind of going to learn all of that. It's kind of fun learning the world as much as it is and everything else. So give it a go.
Okay, I will. And if it's on Netflix, that's easy. Oh, by the way, Netflix shares were released yesterday. I always like to do a little update on that. The share price has kind of stayed the same. Interestingly, about Netflix, this was the period when Apple TV was released and when Disney launched their service in America, and so we're looking out to see if that damages them massively, which will then affect how much great TV we have to watch. But it seems that it's going to take, in fact, it would take a lifetime for those other streaming services to come up with the same amount of content that Netflix has got a head start on, and that's made a big difference. So they only put on about 100,000 new subscribers in America in the last 3 months, right? But outside of America, they put on 8 million new people. And that's good. But it hasn't damaged them. It's not gone down. So those new services have, the American market's kind of tapped out, but it's not gone down. So this is good. This looks like people are going, okay, long term, it looks like more people in the market isn't going to damage Netflix too much. And we can continue to watch our favourite shows.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't used Apple much, to be honest with you. And we watched The Morning Show, and there are other things on there, but I've not heard great things about C. That's the big kind of, this is about the Pinky Blinders guy.
Yeah.
I've not been, it's not really, nothing else has caught on yet, but there are, I'm sure that they'll catch up. And then Disney's not been released here until, is it March? And that's The Mandalorian is a big release for that, and that's
right.
That's going down all right in America, I think. Matt, you'll probably know better.
I have found a way to The Mandalorian using a VPN. and a friend who has paid for a subscription out in the States. So that's about as legal as you can get in this situation. You know, if they're not going to release it in the civilized world.
Would you be able to tell me your friend's name, please, Matthew?
Yes, sure. It's Thomas Kimberley of Long Island.
I was going to send that to the FBI.
I watched the first 3 episodes of it, and I decided then that I was going to wait until the subscription service came out, because streaming is chunky. But I will say it's the best thing to come out of the Star Wars universe since Return of the Jedi that I've seen.
Whoa. Wow.
Not saying an awful lot, because I hate everything else apart from Force Awakens. I'd say I didn't hate, but I didn't like any of it. So.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
I thought it was pretty damn good, actually. I really enjoyed it.
And if the police would like Matthew's phone number, I will pass that on at the drop of a hat. Just get in touch with me. studio@theboxsetpod.com.
And I'd like to say I've never watched anything illegally.
No, I can vouch for Jamie on that. Yeah.
I would. And I'll vouch for Howell that he has.
Thank you.
And you can't prove it.
I just had weights. They were all legal. It's all legal weights.
Yeah. No, we've all been there.
Let's move on.
I'm going to talk a bit about Messiah. Yeah, I don't think either of you have watched Messiah.
Why and give us a potted Messiah and Undone, because I forgot that we were reinventing this podcast in 2020, and I have actually prepared for that reinvention, so we've got something to do in a bit, which might be exciting. Anyway, carry on.
Right, briefly, Messiah is on Netflix as well. This is something that during Christmas we ploughed through. It's essentially a show about a guy who is in, at the time I think that the TV show starts, he's in Syria during a city being captured by the Islamic State. And the plot begins there with this individual who either creates a miracle that changes things or is just coincidentally there when something happens that is quite miraculous. And that essentially is the plot for the entire show, because a number of miraculous things seem to happen around this guy, and eventually he comes to America. Michelle Monaghan plays one of the main characters. She's like a CIA agent trying to work out his motive. She's very cynical about him. And the question is he a con artist? They're trying to find out about his history. Is he a con artist or is he the real deal? Right. And this is the main premise for the entire show, and it's very captivating for that reason. But also, one of the main reasons it's very captivating is because it's the idea that if there was a character like Jesus, whether he was Jesus, God's son or not, or he was just like a Gandhi figure, if there was a character like that in today's day and age, how would the media and social media, and how would the world react to that situation? And it does kind of capture like how those things would be treated within our own world and the technology we live with today. So it's a fascinating watch. It's some good performances. I recommend it because it keeps you intrigued by whether or not it is happening or not for the entire show. And it's only 8 episodes.
Okay.
Give it a butchers. Okay.
Good. Good. I will. Undone. What's that on?
Undone's on Amazon.
Okay.
It's it came out last year. Have you heard of something called rotoscoping, guys?
It sounds dirty.
No.
No. Have you watched the film A Scanner Darkly?
That's Keanu Reeves, isn't it?
Yes. It's basically it's a type of animation where it's almost like it's drawn. The animation's
drawn
almost
real
drawn.
Life. Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the kind of technique used in this show. It's a story about a girl who she's a young woman who has a car accident, and then suddenly she can see time in different ways. It's got Bob Odenkirk, who plays her father. Mm. I'm only 2 episodes into it, and it's bloody brilliant. Like, it's funny.
Sorry
it's
to
dramatic.
Ask again, but what's it on again?
It's Undone. It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, I don't know a lot of the other plots. The other actors. They're quite unknown to me, but there are some really good performances, and it's just an interesting. So far, I think because it's using this technique, this animation technique, it's able to move through different time periods in her life as she looks back and looks forward. Quite cleverly and quite creatively through this kind of rotoscoping, and I recommend it. So far so good. It gets amazing reviews. Like, it's one of the top shows of last year, so it's worth a look. It's only 20 minute episodes as well. It's like there's 8 episodes, 20 minutes long. It's quite a nice thing to watch at the end of the day if you're having a cup of tea in bed.
Great,
give it a go.
I've watched You season 2, and I would like to say this: I've quit after 2 or 3 episodes, because my issue with it is if you remember that You season 1 is kind of this guy who he's narrating to us, and he's talking about how much he's fallen in love with a girl, but really he's Facebook stalking her, he's using social media, and he's manipulating people and killing people. And in season 2, he has obviously survived season 1. He may have done bad things in season 1. And then we're kind of watching him starting to do it all over again, but in a new place. And my issue with that is, if you remember the hook of Dexter, the reason Dexter was so great is that you go in, all right, he's torturing people, but they deserve it. You know, there's a good justification for why these people deserve to die. With this, but by the time you get to season two of your friend, the protagonist, talking to you, you've got two options. You either hate him for talking to you, and you can't talk back, and so say shut up, so you just turn it off instead. Or you're supposed to be being asked to empathise with him and to kind of put up with that relationship, when actually he's not going after repugnant people. He is a little bit, but mostly it feels like we're supposed to be enjoying being inside this mind, and that's my issue with it. It's just tedious once you get to the second series. I can't be bothered. How did you feel?
Yeah, well, I've only watched the first episode of season two, but that's the way me and my wife were both feeling, is that being in his head is obviously the main kind of, it's the main thing that draws you into this world and keeps you with him throughout his horrendous behaviour. Mm. But season two, you kind of are at a point where, do you really want to follow him do the same thing again to other people?
Yeah.
And
because by the rules of drama, normally, at the end of season one, you know, at the end of your story, that person, even if you've enjoyed them in a weird way, they would die, right? And they'd get what they deserve. But for a second series, or potentially a third and fourth series, he's not going to. So he's like, oh, okay. So we're just supposed to get on with them then.
It's always been a little, like, the first series was a bit, it's a bit trashy, isn't it? It's always been way.
Yeah, it's been.
And so I've never taken it too seriously, but we did pile through it pretty quickly. But
have
I
you
just can't
it, Matt?
See. Yeah.
No, I've not seen it.
No, I think you'll hate it. Don't bother.
I think you would absolutely.
Honestly, I've basically been looking at my phone while you've been talking about it, because I looked at the trailer of the show and went, that looks shit.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, Matt had very little patience with any perceived depth in This Is Us. In this, there's even less perceived depth in it, and it's just, you know, you realise you've been suspending your disbelief a bit too long. Really.
It's so one of those shows that you can watch at throwaway way, but I don't think you can, Matt, because I think, you know, I don't know if you can watch anything in a throwaway way without, you know, just despising it eventually. So it's something that you can either take it or leave it, and I'm guessing you'll leave it.
I am choosing to leave it.
We're going to do a quiz, but first we need to talk about Don't Fuck With Cats. And I'm amazed Matt hasn't heard of this.
I also want to talk about sex communication.
Oh, right. Okay, Matt, go on. I mean, you talked about it a lot in the first series, and I'll be honest, you sold it to me like 30% effort. You thought it was a bit weird. You weren't quite sure, but you enjoyed it.
Well, I can't remember when I spoke to you about it then, because by the end of the series, I was really into it.
Okay.
Hannah wants to watch it from the beginning, because she's read good things about it, and obviously it's, you know, it's done well enough to get a second series, and people like it, I think.
Yeah.
So it's set in this kind of idyllic part of England, which I think it's filmed in Wales. It's this incredible valley with this, like, really bizarrely American kind of high school.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that I'm calling it a high school. And it follows Otis, who is the son of Gillian Anderson, who is a sex therapist. And he has weird sexual issues of his own, but he is also his mother is really open with him, talks to him about her work and stuff. And so he ends up becoming a sex therapist for his sixth form college, essentially.
Okay.
It's just good, man. It's like it's witty, it's well acted, it's funny, it's pacey and likable and just zeitgeisty and all that kind of shit. It just really works, and I think it's very worth watching.
Wow, I'm gonna have to make the effort of going all the way back to the beginning then.
Yeah, but you know, it's only like 8 or 10 episodes, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, very good. And I'm excited to see what series two is like. I haven't started it yet.
Okay. Nice. There's a couple of other things out at the moment which are exciting. For example, the one about the killer, the true crime one, who was a American football player in America. Hernandez, is it? His second name? Anyway, that's probably popping up on your Netflix right now. We've just started that, and that's very interesting. But here's what I thought we should do. I thought that we should have more fun on this podcast. And I'm not sure if you can name anything more fun than a traditional British pub quiz. So maybe just this week, but if we can keep up our homework, maybe every week from now on, one of us will be the question master and the other two will collect points, and we will we'll tot up those points. Maybe
what is it? Is it a general knowledge quiz?
No, it's always on a box set. Okay.
Blammo.
Okay.
And this week we're starting with The West Wing.
Oh, I'm going to lose this. Matt's been watching it with his mum.
How many times have you watched The West Wing, Jamie?
Yeah, but not in a couple of years. Yeah, maybe five.
Come on. All right. First of all, you have to do a honest swear on your mother's forsaken life that you will not go on the internet during this quiz. And I'm talking to both Matt, Jamie, and you.
Promise.
Jamie.
I'm going to fucking nail it.
No Wikipedia. All right.
I won't cheat.
It doesn't matter. I'll get there faster than he will.
As with all pub quizzes, I want you to write your answers down and we'll come back to the questions, okay?
All right.
So if you're playing along at home...
Can I just shout them out? Can I interrupt?
No.
Do I get extra points?
No, because I thought about that. I thought about a buzzer situation, but then I thought it'd be unfair on Jamie's lazy rural Wi-Fi. So... here we go. Question one, and if you're playing along in the car, please make sure you use a pen and paper, resting it on the dashboard while you're driving. Question one, how many series of The West Wing were there?
Oh, Jesus, that's easy.
Question two, which studios produced The West Wing? Question three. How many episodes did Aaron Sorkin write or co-write? The closest answer wins.
How many series did he write or co-write?
Yeah, and if you're playing at home, when we get to that answer, give yourself a point if you're within 10. Question four. I want to know what the president's name is, not nickname.
Oh, what's it called?
Question five. What is the name of the character who is Deputy National Security Advisor in the final few series? She ends up getting together with Josh Molina's character, Will. 1 point for each name.
Sorry, say that question again.
What's the name of the character who is Deputy National Security Advisor in the final series?
Come on, Jamie. Come on.
Do you want the name of the character?
I do, and you can get up to 2 points there if you remember the first name or the second name.
I know the actress's name.
No good.
Can I not have the actress's
name?
No good.
Kate McKinnon?
No. No, it's not you. It's
Mary McCormick.
Oh, right. I know Kate McKinnon's in SNL.
Kate McKinnon was like 1 year old at this point. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Question six. As an average, how much did the principal actors of The West Wing make per episode?
Again, ooh, that's an interesting one.
Closest answer wins, and I want it in dollar.
Per episode.
Yes.
Well.
That question.
At what point, though? Where are we talking about? It must have changed throughout.
Over the whole thing, as an average, how much did the principal characters...
Do you want dollars?
I want dollars as an average. How much did the principal characters, actors of The West Wing, make per episode?
This is why Rob Lowe left, isn't it?
Yeah. Question seven of The West Wing quiz. According to Wikipedia, which series, and it probably is quoting IMDb, but which series was the most popular? I'm going to give you multi choice here. 1, 2, 3, or 7?
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one because, I mean, only one of those would make it into my top few.
Well, I'd go for that.
All right. Okay.
Question 8. Yeah, go for that, Matt, and then we can see how in line with the general public you are. Question 8. Who won an Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series from The West Wing in 2006?
In 2006? Okay.
Supporting, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
I gotcha.
Similar question, but back to the beginning. In what year did The West Wing start? And if you want to go for a date, do you know what? Go for a date. I'll give you a bonus point for the closest to the actual date.
Oh, what? Okay. Jeez.
And the final question of the West Wing quiz, the first box set pod quiz ever, is question 10. How many special episodes were released during season 3? Which is also, by the way, the only series which had special episodes. And can you tell me what they were about? If you say the full title, you will get 3 points. So you can get a point for getting the number of episodes, a point for describing those episodes, and a point for getting those titles right. How are you feeling?
I'm going to get absolutely drowned today.
Jamie's a bit stressed. Matt,
I mean,
confident?
You are going to get drowned, yeah. Okay. Completely confident.
And right. Remember, this time next year, when we're announcing our first box set pod tour...
This is unfair, by the way. This is totally unfair. I'm a fucking West Wing geek.
Oh, my God. I've just realised what this podcast should do as a tour. It should be pub quiz tour. Oh, if anyone wants that to happen, me, Matt and Jamie sat in your local pub, email us with a price.
Giving people easy West Wing questions, yeah. Honestly.
Oh, fighting talk. Let's see. Okay. Here come the answer. So the first question was, how many series of the West Wing were there? Jamie, what did you have?
7.
And Matthew?
Correct.
Excellent.
Okay, Matt.
1 point each. Question 2. Which studios produced The West Wing? Matthew?
I'll let Jamie go first.
Yeah, good idea.
I don't know. I put Universal. I don't
know. Oh, I'm afraid it's Warner Brothers, Jamie.
It is. Oh. Warner Brothers. 2 of 2 for Matt. Okay, I want you both to answer at the same time with this one for fairness. How many episodes did Aaron Sorkin write or co-write? After 3. 1, 2, 3.
49.
40.
What was that, Jamie?
Oh, I thought how many series did he write for?
So you wrote 4. So your answer was 4. Yeah. So Matthew wins, unfortunately. The answer is 85. 85.
Oh, how have I got that so wrong? I've cut it in half.
Yeah.
I'm so stupid. Yeah, it should be...
I would have said 80 because I put 4 series. That,
yeah. It's 85.
Howell, I put 4 series worth, which is 85 episodes. I should get the point for that.
Yes, but you just answered 40.
I said 4, really, but...
Well, 4 is incorrect.
And
40 was further away. So,
was it 84?
85. So, well done, Matt.
Oh, I'm disappointed. Maths has let me down.
Well, you can be, but you've got a point because you got closest, so you're still 3 of 3.
Yeah, well... I feel like
you should. You know, you should feel disappointed. You should give me your point there, man.
I do. Absolutely, don't deserve it.
Okay, what is the president's name, not nickname, Jamie?
Jebediah Bartlett.
It's very close, Jamie, but it's actually Josiah Bartlett.
That's correct. So close. Jeb is the nickname, so you know.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, it's fair. I'm afraid.
Jed, the nickname, Jed.
Jed. So, question 5. What's the name of the character who is Deputy National Security Advisor in the final series and ends up getting together with Josh Molina's character, Will? 1 point for each name. Jamie first.
Eve.
Eve. So you didn't even go for two Eve. Names, even though you could potentially get 2 points there.
No.
All right, and if you'd have stuck with Kate McKinnon, you'd have got a point, because the answer, Matt, is...
Kate Harper.
Correct. 2 points for Matthew.
God's sake. As if you do that.
It's all to play for, Jamie. Five questions in. There's another five to go. So, as an average...
This is the most interesting one for me. I want to know the answer to this.
How much did the principal actors of The West Wing make per episode? Closest answer wins.
$350,000.
$350,000 per episode over the course of the whole thing. I don't think it's anywhere near that high, but then I don't know what I'm talking about.
This was a network show.
I've gone for $80,000.
I've lost my answer. Jesus.
Oh, you've got to be
kidding
me.
Oh, this is a travesty.
Come on.
We're setting a low bar here.
How do you spell principal, as in principal actors?
I should write this stuff down.
Oh, shit. I did. I wrote them all down. For some reason, I didn't write this down. But I'm pretty sure it was $75,000. What were your answers?
Oh, right.
I said $80,000.
Oh, that was
incredibly
so
well.
Close.
Yeah.
Jeez, you should have been an agent,
man. No, they deserve more.
Matt
You'd have
did.
Got 90.
As Matt described, did do incredibly well there. Well done. All right, so that's another point for Matthew. So just to tally up so far, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I believe 7 points to Matthew, 1 point to Jamie.
That can't be right.
No, you got 6.
Oh, yeah,
because it's
2 for 1 for Kate, 1 for Harper.
Oh,
oh plus the extra one, 8, yes. So 8 points for Matt. Here we go. Question 7. According to Wikipedia, which series was the most popular? 1, 2, 3 or 7? What are you going for?
I've gone for 2.
I think you only said 1, 2 or 7, but
no,
I said
2. 1, 2, 3 or 7.
I put 2.
You are both correct. You both receive a point there.
Yes!
Wow, well done, Jamie.
Off 2 the was mark. The best, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, you've made a favorite. Net gain of 0 there. Well done. Question 8. Who won an Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporter in a Drama Series in 2006? Now, you may have deducted that this was a later series. Who did you have, Jamie?
I still had Alison Janney.
Matthew?
I've gone for Alan Alda.
The correct answer is Alan Alda.
Oh, man.
Oh, look at that. He's knocked it out of the park.
That's impressive, Matthew.
2006 would have been series 6 or 7, and, yeah, the great Alan Alda. He was recently interviewed on a podcast called Awards Chatter, and I urge you to go and listen to it. He's a fantastic, fantastic guy.
Right, okay. And by the way, I've checked my sources, and it was $75,000 earlier, so Matt did win that, so well done. Imagine that, $75,000 an episode. Okay, the penultimate question. What year did it start? Closest answer wins. Jamie?
98, October.
Matthew?
I've gone for September 7th, 1999.
It's September the 22nd, 1999.
Oh my God.
Look at that.
You know what, actually, this is
insane.
Actually a little bit sad now.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It's actually becoming a little bit sad.
We've turned a corner. We're around that corner. We've realised where we are. Final question, question 10. How many special episodes were released during season 3, which is also the only season that had special episodes, but can you tell me what they were about? And if you say the full titles, we'll do very well. So again, Jamie first.
2 episodes, specials, and I believe wasn't there like a fable about a Jewish and a Palestinian person?
Yes.
No? Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Hang on,
well
there were
done.
2 episodes.
There were. You just said 2, so can you remember a second?
No, I put one, because I only know one, and it's called Isaac and Ishmael, and it's about Islamic terrorism and how we deal with it.
Okay, so I realised the flaw in my
what's the other
scores
one?
There. You get. I'm going to give you 2 points there, Matt.
What do I get,
Jamie? Tell me again. So you went for 2 specials.
That's correct.
So you get a point for that.
And it was a story of a Jewish man and a Palestinian, or a Jewish person and a Palestinian.
So you get a point for that for describing it well. But can you tell me what the other special was?
I thought it was like a two-parter about this story.
Oh, well, lost it there. So the other special was the so-called documentary special, which was where they followed Alice and Janney's character. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Remember where they do a sort of fake documentary following Alice and Janney's character as like a day in the life of the White House press secretary?
No.
No?
No, I don't remember that.
How do you know? This is shocking news at the end of what we've just observed.
Do you mean the one that's done like an actual TV show? Yes. Like a voiceover? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's not in Series 3. It's in Series 5.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's called...
Has he got you?
I can't think what it's called. I think it's called Access, and it's in Series 5.
Wow.
According to Wikipedia, Isaac and Ishmael and Documentary Special were in 2001 and 2002 part of the same series, which would dictate that you were wrong, because there's not going to be two series difference in a year, is there?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue this now, but
no, let's get to the bottom of it. If I search for West Wing Documentary Special, so let's avoid Wikipedia, because as we know, it's not always correct. The West Wing Documentary Special TV short, directed by Stockard Channing, is that right? No, that's mixed up. Okay, it was 2002, and it was the third series, it says. So...
yeah, that's right.
I think these are two different things, though. I don't think we're talking about one that's actually set. Oh, never mind.
Anyway, oh, we'll yeah, maybe you're right. No, maybe we didn't. Maybe we didn't get it in Britain. Well, I think what we'll say there is that overall Matthew has scored 14 points to Jamie's 5, which is by any measure trouncing, and I did not expect that from you, Jamie. In fact, Matt, I didn't expect that from you. That was pretty good. I mean, one of the highlights for me was guessing, what was your answer for the amount they were paid? 80,000?
Yeah,
and it was 75. That's an incredible guess.
I think one of the highlights for me was when we stopped playing the quiz and called it a day. Yeah.
Great. So,
that was a good moment.
Right. Yeah. So those are the scores so far. Remember, when we do start our live tour, whoever has got the least points in this accumulator of a quiz has to
watch the entire Chuck series.
Yeah, in a back room while we do the pub quiz. So on headphones. So well done. So who's going to do the quiz next week? Who wants to do it next week? You two.
I'll set a quiz.
Okay. What's it going to be on?
I don't know yet.
All right, try and pick something that you know we've both seen.
Yeah, I might do that, yeah.
Something as safe, a fair game as the West Wing.
Let's go for the
biggies,
let's go for the Breaking Bad, the Mad Men, the Wires.
Yeah. Yes.
Do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank you for listening, and if you want to tell us what scores you got, did anyone beat Matt with the scores?
I doubt it.
I think it might have been possible to beat him by maybe 1 point.
I made a couple of big mistakes there, actually.
You're only 1 point down, I reckon, 1 or 2 points. So if you did, studio@theboxsetpod.com, let us know. And the other question is, did anybody, even by accident, do worse than Jamie? 5 points there. I mean, seriously, your pet dog probably could have got closer than that. So, thank you. See you next time. I'm off to Vegas and Los Angeles, during which time I'll be going to Warner Brothers Studios, and maybe I'll record a live.
How do you go away so often? You fucking keep rabbits. Where do you get the money?
Rabbits. 2 weeks. 2 weeks we'll be back. That'll be that. Thank you. Good night.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
100% from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.